welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
Over the past few months, it's become increasingly aware that doing church is different than it used to be. Some of the things that we counted on that we've been doing for lots of years aren't working in the same ways that they worked in the past. And what we've come to find is that there are people who are really struggling to understand what it means to be the church as our children go to children's church, in case yours didn't do that. Redefining how we do it right there. The greatest struggle in many ways comes in the part of our church that primarily identifies being church as going to worship together in a large room or going to Sunday schools and all being able to be together. And the struggle for those and for others of us, when we think about When we said to the church that we promised to support its ministries through our prayers and our presence, through our gifts and through our service and our witness, what does that mean right now? I mean, what does it mean today as we talk about presence? When before we probably would have defined presence as being present at a worship service with regularity. What do you do when a pandemic hits and you can't come in those kinds of normal patterns of worship? What does it mean to participate through our presence right now? God, as we move into this conversation, just speak boldly and lovingly to us. Give us the grace and assurance that we need for the steps that we are taking and we need to take. Also convince us to find the way to understand church, maybe at a deeper level than we ever have before. God, fill this space with your Holy Spirit so that we might hear what you want to say to us today. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So as we lean into this understanding of what does it mean to be present? What does it mean to be present in ministry moments and in time? We hear even in those vows that we promise to God that it's good to remember that those vows come after baptism. When you want to join the church, we always ask, have you been baptized? And if you haven't yet, like some of these guys last week, we take care of that right here. And we move into that relationship that God says, I want you to be a part of my family. And so God reaches out to draw us into his family, to incorporate us and give us new life in the Spirit and to just want us to be part of his. You see, the first move in this whole conversation is always God's. It's always God's. We hear that in places such as 1 John 4:7-10. Just some classic words about God going out in front first. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Here he is. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You see, way before we choose God, God is choosing us. God, way before we figure out what it means to be present with God, God says, I will be present with you. I will be with you till the end of the age. I will be with you through my Holy Spirit that will live and breathe within you in beautiful ways. In every breath and every beat of your heart, in every moment of your day, God says, I am with you, present with you, no matter where you go or what you do. I'm with you. There's a story in Luke that we're going to focus on today that really exemplifies how Jesus' presence in a moment totally changes the trajectory of the storyline. It's a familiar story, but you may hear some things today that you haven't ever heard in this story before. It's from Luke chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 11. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they started sinking. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore and they left everything and they followed him. Now the story in the scripture starts with Jesus standing on the shore teaching the crowd. But truthfully, the story starts before that, right? We find that out later. Because Simon says that he's been fishing all night long. Now, we don't really know why he was fishing all night long. I'm actually a big fan of the series called The Chosen, and they give Simon some backstory and show why he might have been fishing all night long, but we don't really know that from Scripture. I'm not even certain that they didn't often fish all night long. But in this case, they fish all night long, and they get nothing, not a zip, no fish, not one fish is recorded. Is that common? I don't know that either. But it seems like if you fish all night and you're an experienced fisherman, that when you finish that time, there's a sense of frustration and being upset and angry and discouraged because you just wasted a whole night without catching anything. That part of the story really jumped out at me this time. Because I think in many ways I see guys that are out doing what they know how to do. In fact, we're going to hear later in John, after Jesus is crucified, what does Peter say? "I'm going fishing." It's what he knows to do. It's the way his world makes sense. When he's in the pattern of fishing and when he's bringing in fish and taking that to market, that's his livelihood. That's how he knows that the world operates. But all of a sudden, he's catching no fish. His world's off kilter. Sound familiar? In this time in our lives, when our normal ways of doing things, they're just not having the same kind of results. I mean, when we think about what's going on here at church, I mean, we're doing our best, but we're struggling, right? I mean, we're doing great on so many levels, and there's so much love and so much support coming back, but no matter how safe we try to make it here, and no matter how successful we've been at that, there's still not. I mean, we had two Christmas Eve services. That's just not common. And there's a sense in the midst of that we can start getting frustrated about that. We can start getting upset. We can start, well, what are we doing wrong? What's going on? And the truth is, we may not be doing anything wrong. Those fishermen, they didn't necessarily do anything wrong that night. It was just a moment in which they got to see life in a different way because Jesus is about to enter into the story. And one of my prayers is for us, as we're maybe in a season where we're having to do things differently because the old ways aren't working anymore, that we would start paying attention to what Jesus does in this story and what Jesus is doing in our own lives. So Jesus steps into the story. Hear again how it starts. One day he's standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, and the people are crowding around, right? No social distancing there. They're listening to the word of God. They've come together. They're learning, and he sees at the water's edge a couple of boats, but there aren't any fishermen in it. They're off washing their nets. But he gets into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asks him to put out from shore. Then he sits down and teaches the people. Well, what's the first question that Jesus asks Simon in this passage? If you look, you might say, put out into deep water. But what's the question that comes before that? Well, I think one of the unasked questions is, can I get in your boat? I mean, he wouldn't just climb in there without permission. But I think there's a question even before that. I think he asks Simon to enter into a moment with him. Simon, you're going to have to quit washing your nets right now and pay attention to about what I'm about to do. You're going to have to enter into this moment if you're going to see it through. Simon, will you come and be present with me?
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
That for you? How hard is it for you and I to hear that call to come and be fully present with God and to pull that off? How many times when we're asked to be present in our own conversation with a spouse or a friend or a child who wants our attention, that we're given partial attention, when really our brain's thinking about, what am I getting ready for supper? I need to get that done. We're multitasking. We're partially giving attention here. We're thinking about what's the next thing that I need to do, or thinking and worried about where we're not instead of really focused on where we are. How hard is it for us to be fully present in a moment? I remember so much of my life, so many times when I really started getting hungry for this relationship with God, that I kept trying to maintain my schedule and way of doing things and poke Jesus into the little gaps around the edges instead of being fully present with God. Until God said, why don't we take apart that net washing and fill that with me? I sometimes wonder, even when we do come here for worship, are we really fully present even in this space? Are we here? Are we aware of God being here? You know, in some ways, I think what we do here in this room isn't a lot different than what you could be doing right at home on this live stream. And I'm so thankful that we have you here joining us at this time. But I also know that when I try to worship at home, it's so easy to get distracted. There's so much going on. And I wonder, even as we're here, how hard it is to keep our mind on things. How much time we go, how much longer is he going to talk? How many typos were on the screen? Did I like that song they just played? That really was too many verses. I've got company coming over. I really need to get out of here and prepare lunch. Isn't it kickoff time? Instead of being fully present in this space. I mean, last Sunday, if you are here and you stuck around, you'll never forget last Sunday. Right here in this space, it was a little wetter. And five of our most incredible friends got baptized. Now, most everybody who stayed for that had already been here for an hour worshiping. And I gave everybody an excuse to leave multiple times. Do you know how many people left? Nobody. Why? Because they wanted to be present here. So how quickly do I get home became less important. And how can I be a present in the middle of something that God is doing? And you are so present. Those who were here were so present that when you looked into these guys' eyes and you said, I'm here for you, I'll never forget that moment. And I think that really being present with the Lord, when we make a vow to be present, to participate to our presence, that really being present with the Lord, really listening, really watching, really longing to see him move is more what that's about. Not just showing up for worship, but being present with the Lord. Because when Simon made that choice, when Simon set down his net that he was washing or put it under his arm and dragged it back to the boat, all of a sudden doors started opening. He let Jesus in. He let him get into the boat so that he could start teaching. And then when Jesus said, Simon, I want you to put out into deeper water. I want you to launch out in a way to put down your nets for a catch. Simon could have protested. He could have reminded Jesus, Jesus, we're the experts. We're the ones that did it all night. We know how to do this. But by now, Simon is present with Jesus in the moment. Simon has let Jesus in. Simon has listened to Jesus teach. Simon is all in. And when Jesus says to Simon, in Latin, duc in altum, launch into the deep, put out into deeper waters, go deeper in this moment of presence with me, then the miraculous occurred. Man, I would have loved to have been there. Those nets that had been empty all night long were filled to overflowing. Two boats sinking, a miraculous catch. When they got to market, oh my gosh, the talk that would occur, those witnesses on the shore, we're still talking about this story. Because Simon allowed Jesus to invite him to be present, and he did it. How do you and I do that? How do you and I intentionally, through prayer and through scripture and through music and through nature and through service in so many ways, how do you and I become more fully present to the God who is always present with us? I think that's at the heart of what it means to be a church that's present with God. And what I find is when we're present like that for God, then we're more present for one another. The early church found that, and we see a reflection of that in Acts chapter 2, as we get this description of the church that says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. You see, as they made themselves more available to God, and as they became more present to the Lord, then they became more present to one another. Devoted is the word that they use in there. They became devoted to one another. I wonder what God may be calling us to do right now for our brothers and sisters in Christ. How could our greater presence with the Lord lead to greater presence with one another when we can't go hang out with one another? There are so many people. We are so used to doing church in a way that most of you come to us, and that's how we kind of know what's going on in your life. Right now, when most of people aren't coming to us, there are literally hundreds and thousands of people that we don't have the same kind of contact with that we normally do. How could you and I step into that and be church and be present for one another through a phone call, through an email, through a reach out? Who haven't you seen in a while that you don't even know how they're doing? Would you be present with them? Because the truth is, what we're learning and hearing and knowing, and you do too, is that one of the things that people are suffering the most from right now is loneliness and despair from this isolation. I mean, people going to hospitals and spouses not being able to go to surgery or to care for them. I saw a story yesterday of the guy at Kingwood Medical Center who's been outside his wife's window for 40 days. He can't go in, but he's trying to stay as close as possible. People who have family members in assisted living facilities, and they can't get to them. And on the other side, this sense of loneliness and isolation and despair that's growing. What does it mean to find new ways to be present with one another when we can't do it the old way? What does it mean to duke in altum, go deeper with one another at a time like this? God bless you. And I think the final layer of this being, recognizing God present with us, being present with God, being present with one another, is also figuring out how better to be fully present with God out in the world. Hebrews 10:23-25 frames this up. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. That's God, right? God is faithfully present with us. Let us consider how we spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Present with God, present with one another, present with God out into the world. Do you remember what happens to Simon at the end of the story? After the great catch, he ends up on the beach in front of Jesus, professing how he's such a sinful man, how he's so unworthy of taking the next step with Jesus. Being so fully present with Jesus led to this moment of raw truth. And out of that raw truth, Jesus looks in the eye and says, I know everything about you. Come and follow me. Out of that presence, out of that raw truth, out of that moment comes a compelling call that would forever shape Simon's life and the lives of the other disciples. Come. Be present with me all the time. Come and be so present with me that I define your life, Jesus says to the disciples, so that your actions in the world will reveal my grace and glory to all people. You've been a fisherman for a long time. Now let's redefine your life, being present with me and going out and fishing for men, fishing for people with the gospel of love and truth. Church, we've seen our presence as only coming to worship for far too long. We need to see our presence as being present with God in the world. And that doesn't mean that we give up coming together as best we can. And that doesn't mean that we need to all rush in together during the middle of this pandemic. Don't hear me wrong. But while we need to consider how we do that together, let's figure out how to continue to be the church that never shuts down. Let's continue to be the ones that are going into the world, into the presence of God. Ephesians 2:10 always reminds me that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. this thought, it's in our heart. It's in the core of being a Methodist. It goes back to our very roots with John Wesley saying that acts of mercy and compassion are means of grace by which God's grace can be conveyed to those around us. As our band comes forward to take us into the rest of our worship, I'm reminded of a couple moments last week where God's presence was made known and through which God's greater presence would be made known. One of them happened with Reggie, who helps to direct Fresh Start. He called me and said, I need to talk. So I went down to visit with him for a little bit, and he said, Chris, I was so upset the other day. We found out that we're going on heightened monitoring. Now, heightened monitoring means that the people who are making sure that you're dotting all your I's and crossing all your T's from licensing come by more and more and more to make sure you're doing it right. Usually it's seen as punitive. Usually it's when you messed up at doing something that they go, you messed up, you're not trustworthy, we got to come by and check on you more often. Reggie's going, we haven't messed up, we haven't done anything wrong, why are we going to heightened monitoring? And then it dawned on him, wait a minute, people are going to be coming by more often. The way God's moving in this place right now, what they're going to see is God moving in this place. So come on. Come visit us twice a week if you want to visit us twice a week. But being in that moment and realizing that being present with God and letting that live out is what people are going to see around us. We were also, we experienced just some heartbreak and some of this moment described here at the end of the story this week in staff. Stacy Sweet, who's been up here, you've seen and know, also serves as a chaplain in the hospital systems. And she was just telling us what she's experienced as she goes out in the parking lot and sees all these people sitting outside waiting for their loved ones who can't be inside with them. And as we were thinking about that and praying about that and crying about that, what do you do about that? How do you love on those people? Do you just go and knock on people's windows and pray for them? Do you set something up and invite them to come up if they need prayers or support? I don't know. We don't have the answers to that. But we see a need and an invitation from Christ to be present. So church, what does it mean to be present? How are we going to more fully be aware of the presence of God in our lives? And then, how are we going to commit our lives to be more present with Him? To be fully present with one another, and then to be fully present with God out in the world. It's not linear. Doesn't always happen like that. Sometimes I'm much more aware of God's presence when I'm out in the world serving. All those things, they work together. All of them. So my prayer for us, church, go Duke in Altum. Go deep. Launch out. Be present. Get ready to follow and experience life. Because I guarantee the more we're obedient and the more we're present, the more God will show us one miraculous catch after another. May God be glorified in all that we do.